Matthew 25. Five more. In your Common Man's Reference Bible, 1,453. Yeah. Maybe you've been up at First Baptist Hammond where they say in your Schofield Reference Bible, page number, it says that. In your Good News for Modern Man, page number 12, they cut out everything else. Okay. You mean like that? Okay, Matthew 25:31. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. Lord, I pray you'd help be our author, teacher, and guide in this book. You, the author. Help us to know how to rightly divide the scriptures. Help us understand this judgment. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to see clearly what's being said. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Matthew 25:31. You also need Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3, when you find it, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Find it without table of contents. 4, 5. Okay, 6, 7. Better, better. The sound booth put away. Okay, we got him. Joel chapter 3. In the front row, if you can't find it, it's after Joel chapter 2. Before the Apocrypha. Okay, Matthew 31 and Joel chapter 3. This is one of the seven judgments in the Bible, seven major judgments. Okay, there are three judgments that a Christian will go through. One is the judgment of sin. You've already done that at Calvary. Two is being judged as a son of God or a child of God. That's today. That's being chastised in everyday life. And three, you'll be judged as a servant of God at the judgment seat of Christ. So there's three judgments. Matthew 25:31 is the judgment of the nations, the Gentile nations at the end of the tribulation. Now, this is the one judgment that the modernists and liberals will use this chapter, this passage, 31 all the way to the end of the chapter. They will use this as a final judgment at the white throne judgment. And the way they portray this is that your good outweighs your bad. If you're good to your fellow man, then you get heaven. If you're naughty to your fellow man, then you go to hell. And that's how they portray this. But if you read the words and let the words stand, don't add anything, don't subtract anything. It has nothing to do with the white throne judgment. It has nothing to do with the judgment seat of Christ. And in a way, it has nothing to do with individual salvation. Okay, Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory. First or second coming? Second coming. When He shall come in His glory. That's coming to earth. There's our time period. That is etched in stone. Very clear. That's not the white throne judgment. Remember, that's 1,000 years after the second coming of Christ. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the angels with Him, and then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Beginning of the millennium. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. There's a segregation. So one's on the right side, right wingers. The goats on the left side, left wingers. Okay, so there's a segregation there. And a scapegoat and a goat, the goat head of Mendes, is used by secret societies and Satan and everything for their wretchedness. So you have sheep and goats. So he calls all nations. Okay, let's say he calls the nation, first nation up, Gentile nation, let's say the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, here comes the Dutch. And he puts the sheep on one side, the Dutch sheep on one side, and the Dutch goats on the other side. And what determines what side you go on? Okay, what determines that, as we keep reading, we find out what determines that. Verse 34. Then shall the king... So there's the second coming. There's the king of the millennium, Jesus Christ. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit heaven. No, there's no inheritance of heaven. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. So there's your goodness to your fellow man that the liberals talk about. Being nice to the fellow man and all that stuff. 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done unto the one of the least of these my brethren, Jewish people, ye have done it unto me. Okay, so there's the context. The idea of the word righteous in verse 37, that is an Old Testament phrase. Okay, and you'll find that in Ezekiel 18:34. So let's try that. Ezekiel 18:24. Remember that Matthew, even though it's written in the New Testament, remember that anything before Calvary is operating under the Old Testament covenant. Because Hebrews 9:16-17 says that at the death of the testator is when the testament starts or begins or whatnot. And at the death of Jesus Christ is when the New Testament begins. Okay, Ezekiel 18:24. These are famous passages for charismatics to try to hold you into their system when they add words and subtract words, believing, showing that somebody can lose their salvation. Baptists, the eternal security people, don't know what to do with these verses. But I know what to do with them. Believe them. Just believe them and let them set to where they sit. Ezekiel 18:24. But when the righteous, there's that same phrase, the righteous we read in Matthew, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live. All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. According to Jesus Christ in John 8:21-24, when a man dies in his sins, he does not go to heaven. He does not go in the place of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he goes to hell. So here, under the Old Testament covenant, a righteous man could lose his righteousness. Notice the personal pronoun, his righteousness. But in the New Testament, whose righteousness do you have? Jesus Christ's righteousness, not your own. Any righteousness that I have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That can't be lost. Ezekiel 18:27, another one that's tough. Again, it says, Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth No faith is mentioned. Doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Old Testament covenant. So under the Old Testament, the word righteous is kind of the way we use the word saved. It's similar, but has some slight variations in that in the Old Testament, a man had part of his righteousness. It became his personal righteousness. In the New Testament, no matter how good you are, how kind you are, how sweet you are, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Paul said, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, as a holy man and holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, he said, I am a wretched man. O wretched man that I am. Didn't say was, he said am. Even though God said he's a holy man for writing this, Paul in his spirit said, I'm a wretched man. Okay, so that term righteous is an Old Testament term. You'll find it also in 1 and 2 Peter because they pick up the tribulation. Okay, so what a person does to in the tribulation, what a person does to help out a Jewish brethren or a stranger who has become righteous, when they are helped by people, then that is that person's ticket into the millennium. Not salvation. It's a ticket into the millennium. Okay, let's look at the Joel 3 passage and see if it matches. And you'll find some people in Joel chapter 3 that mistreat Jewish people. When the Jews said, let his blood be upon us and our children, the Lord said, okay, you're going to reap what you sow. And that's all the persecution of the Jews throughout history. And that is the one statement that Mel Gibson kind of watered down in his movie that's coming out, The Passion, because the Jews were upset about that statement. And so they kind of backed off on that statement, and now they have some people saying, oh no, we shouldn't kill Christ, which could have happened, but who knows. Okay, but that statement by the Jews at Calvary, when they said, let his blood be upon us and our children, that has been acted out the last 2,000 years of all the persecution of the Israelites. And now the Muslims, you know, the fine, peace-loving Muslims, who would keep their knife sharp to cut your throat if you won't listen to them, they are wanting England to apologize for the Balfour Declaration. That's what they're wanting. And they're mad at Paul Harvey now because Paul Harvey said something about the Muslims. So, page 9. Okay, Joel chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, in those days and in that time, whenever you see that in the Old Testament, it's a reference to the second coming of Christ. For behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, the captivity is being taken away from them. They're no longer captives of war and things like that. Verse 2, I will also gather all nations, just like we read in Matthew. All nations are gathered in front of him. These nations are Gentile nations. And will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. There's jumping Jehoshaphat. If you want to see him jumping, you read that in 1 Kings 22. And will plead with them, the Gentiles, there for my people, Israel, for my heritage, Israel. That ain't white folk. Whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. So the fake Palestinians are going to get their way. A real Palestinian is not an Arab. A Palestinian is a Jew. They are the rightful owners of the land. And I have yet to see, but we will see, Lord willing, a Bible map that has the real land grant for the nation of Israel. Even the Bible maps don't have the real land grant. And they don't have the real land grant for the kingdom of David. They just give them that little section. The real land grant for the nation of Israel begins at the Nile River over there by Egypt, runs straight east, clear over to the Euphrates, where the Garden of Eden was on the east side of the Eden, going north and west up to Mount Ararat in that area, coming back down, forming a triangle back down to the Nile River. That's the whole land grant. That means Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria. That means them damn folks are going to have trouble when the second coming of Christ. They is going to get torched. And the Bible writes about it in Isaiah 34, Ezekiel 35, Malachi 1, and the little book of Obadiah. Yasser Arafat ain't going to do a thing about it. He better buy him a fire suit. The Bible is very political oriented. And you see, one gripe some folks have against me is that I mention government things, but you can't teach the Bible without mentioning government. Because this book deals with a king and a kingdom, King James itself. 70% of the Bible deals with government structures and things like that. Okay, what will the people do with the Jewish people during Joel chapter 3, verse 3? What will happen to the Jews? Verse 3, and they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Muslims doing that today. They go into some countries in Africa, go and commit Christian communities, kidnap Christian girls and boys, and take them and sell them as slaves. And the news media is not doing a thing about it. They're not reporting it. Talk to the missionaries who are on the mission field. You get an eyewitness account from them. And the United Nations is not going to do a thing about it. Okay, verse 3, they're going to take a little Jewish boy and a little Jewish girl and they're going to sell them. They're going to barter them. What did they do with mom and papa? Threw them in jail or killed them? So that's right there would be the goats in verse 3. That's the ones taking advantage of the Jews. Now, during World War II, you had a lot of people who tried to help out Jewish folks. I think Corrie Ten Boom, didn't she? Anybody know Corrie Ten Boom was one? Her family. But when they got caught, they suffered the same consequences. Concentration camps, things like that. Okay, so verse 3, there would be what the goats do. Verse 4, he says, yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? I think that's the only occurrence of the word Palestine in the Bible right there. I'm not quite sure. I know there's another place where it says Palestina, but that might be the only place. It says, will ye render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will ye return your recompense upon your own head? Because ye have taken all my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. Notice those items in the Jewish temple, the Lord says, are His. Because ye, verse 6, the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem, have ye sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border? Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off, for the Lord hath spoken it. Okay, now this has some historical benefit, but also has prophetic benefit on these things. This he's talking to the people of Tyre and Sidon, verse 4. Okay, this is not being spoken to Edomites. The Edomites will be obliterated literally. Forever. The Edomites. Children of Esau are the Edomites. Now these Tyre and Sidon, the people of Tyre and Sidon, they would have some Hamitic blood in them, and they would be the ones who are selling the Jews. So what the Lord's going to do with them is he's going to sell their own children. Verse 8. Verse Verse 9, he says, proclaim thee this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen. And gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. The Lord's picking a fight. He's sarcastically, calling these people out for a fight. 12, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full, the fats run overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Okay, verse 14, the day of the Lord, that's second coming of Christ. 15, the sun and the moon shall be darkened. You'll find that in Revelation 6. The stars shall be withdrawn their shining. Revelation 6. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. Main doctrine of the Bible right there. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. Revelation 6 again. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Okay, that's part of the judgment of the nations. Back in Matthew 25, we'll read through this some more and then give a little overview of what the judgment of the nations actually entails. Verse 40, Matthew 25:40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Okay, during the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to be, he's going to make Adolf Hitler look like a Sunday school picnic. Adolf Hitler said, as far as the Jews go, I am just following the policy of the church and Ignatius Loyola, the Jesuits, who what they have followed for 1,500 years, where they have forced the Jews into the ghettos and persecuted them. And when Adolf Hitler died, the press of Spain, Francisco Franco, published, Adolf Hitler, the son of the Catholic Church, died defending the faith. And there's a book you can read entitled The Popes Against the Jews, and you can find out what the Vatican thinks about Jewish people. This is a fulfillment of Matthew 26, where they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. But even at that, you cannot convince all the people all the time. There will be some people who will not believe in their own heart that anybody, any humans, can be treated the way the Jews will be treated. And so they will do something to try to help them, as they did in World War II. When I was in Israel, there's a museum there. It's a museum about the Holocaust. And there's two parts of this museum. And one part is just newspaper clippings all through there. And it shows a picture of a man with a sandwich board sign on here. And he says, please shoot me because I don't want to die in the concentration camps of Hitler. And it has people dying in the streets. And it has children in the streets. You know, it shows pictures of starvation of everybody, of a lot of the people. And then if you go into this other place, this other part of this same location, museum, you walk in there and there's real eerie music being played and it's dark in there. And you look up, it looks like you see stars. And with the eerie music, there's just name after name after name read. And that's all that it is. You just walk through there and you hear a name. You hear another name and you hear another name. And hear another name, just constantly. That's all it is. And what they're doing is they're reading the names of the children who died in the Holocaust. And of course, when you walk out of there, you don't walk out laughing. It's a very eerie thing, but you realize what it was all about. And if you can imagine Adolf Hitler, the Antichrist is going to make that look like a picnic. Psalm 79 shows a little bit, gives a little bit of what's going to happen. It's kind of hard to imagine, but when you get in warfare, When you get in warfare, spirits often take over. And killing becomes so second nature that spirits and devils get involved, and then they will look up curious ways to kill people, how to torture them. And they get into an animal state. In fact, they get beyond that, they get into a devilish state. Psalm 79, it says, verse 1, O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, and the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there is none to bury them. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Now, if you want to see a sample of this, you ought to see the video entitled The Rape of Nanking. Some of you have seen it. It's what took place in World War II with the Japanese and what they did to the Chinese people. It's beyond human comprehension. This gets into demonic things. Yeah, a person, as far as in their fleshly nature, wouldn't mind, you know, beating somebody's face in to a point, you know, to a pulp, whatnot. But there comes a time where a person does quit. Not talking about under rage, but I mean, it does a time where a guy does back off. But when you get into these spirits don't back off. They revel in it. Sadism, it's called. Masochism. Where they revel in it and they get a thrill, they get a kick out of it, listening to people scream as they're torturing them. But this is the future of the nation of Israel, if the Bible is true, which no doubt in my mind, and the tribulation is true. And if you want to read what the Jewish people are going to go through during the tribulation, read the little book of Lamentations. That's 5 chapters. It mentions a woman in there that gives birth to a baby, a span long. That would be 9 inches from here to here is a span. Obviously preemie baby. Obviously dead. And then it talks about her turning around eating it. Starving to death. That's the future of the nation of Israel, if the Bible's true, as far as the tribulation goes. Which it is. During that time period, anybody who helps out the Jewish people, they're not only helping out the Jewish people, they're helping out themselves. They're helping out themselves because when they hit the judgment of the nations in Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus Christ will tell them, "You, what you did unto one of my brethren, you did to me. Guess what you get? You get to come into this kingdom. And you get to live in a kingdom where I am in charge for 1,000 years. Aren't you glad you did that?" Yes, I am. If you're still in Psalm 79, I should have read verse 11. This is the prisoner that he talks about visiting somebody in prison. Psalm 79, verse 11. It says, "Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die." Now, doesn't that make Hebrews 13:3 more sense now, where it says, "Remember those that are in bonds as bound with them"? If Hebrews is a tribulation passage, that's why he brings that up. Remember those who are in bonds as bound with them. And that's why we're seeing the prisons being built more and more. Why? They have another plan for these prisons. They want to house somebody else in those prisons. And that's the motive behind these things. Okay, in Matthew 25, now what happens if they take advantage of the Jewish people, as the Edomites will? Obadiah writes about the Edomites, where they'll rat on the Jews. They'll be snitches. They'll be narcs. They'll be communist informants. And when you get into a society where, like in Vietnam, 1 out of 2 people are communist informants. If you're not one, that means everybody you rub shoulders with is. What's it like getting in America?
My neighbor.
You know, we sang that one song about our neighbor, you know, verse 2 about, what was that?
47.
About, having peace with our neighbors. And I'm thinking, oh boy, it depends what neighbors we're talking about here. Neighbors are kind. I love them, everyone. We get along, sweet accord. Is that your neighbors? I don't know. Depends what neighbor we're talking about there. Your neighbors got gargoyles. Sweet accord, neighbors. Well, when you have neighbors who rat on you, what kind of neighbors is that? You know, I first came across this when we lived in Colorado. We had a dumb white dog. And my neighbors behind us said our dog barked, made a lot of noise, which it didn't. Then the other neighbor's dog jumped the fence and jumped on our side, and then he would bark, and then he blamed on our dog. And then here's the dog guy at my door, and I said, I looked at him and said, what gutless wonder sent you here? He said, well, your neighbors. I said, to who? Why didn't the guy have man enough to come talk to me about this? Well, he sent me. I said, why didn't he come and talk to me? And he said, well, you get a dog and a license. I said, what do I need a license for? I'm a country boy, man. I moved to a city. What do I need a license for? He don't drive, I was thinking, you know, like that. And he said, well, you're going to have to get a license for your dog. No, I ain't. He's a dead dog. If I get a license, we'll shoot him. I ain't paying for this dog. A dumb dog anyway. So we took the dog to pound and they put her to sleep. I didn't care about the dog. I ain't going to pay for that stuff. But that's what communists do. Why didn't the man come talk to me? That's what a free nation does. If you have a problem with a person, you individually go talk to him. Communist informants send somebody. And see, that's where it's heading in this country. And that's what the Antichrist will have in order to keep his kingdom in check. He can't do it all by himself. They can't do it by the military all by themselves. They're limited. Even though they have all this fancy technology, they're still limited. And so they have to have informants. And so the informants would be the goats that we're reading about in verse 41. What happens to them, the goats? Then shall I say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Got to be the most horrible words anybody could ever hear. From the Lord Jesus Christ, sees this guy, he said, depart from me, ye cursed in everlasting fire. And they'd bind him hand and foot and throw him in hell. Verse 42, then he says, for I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. You see, during this time, to visit somebody in prison is taking your life in your hands. That's the amazing thing about it. Okay, if you have somebody in prison because he went against the Antichrist and here comes somebody to visit him, what are they going to immediately say about the visitor? Arrest him too. So he says, in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hungered or athirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall they answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Notice they're not singed as far as they're gone. They're not annihilated, like the JW is trying to tell you. And even if it was true that they were annihilated, that is still bad enough. Everlasting punishment. In Daniel 12, this is called everlasting torment. The punishment is everlasting, but the righteous in the life eternal. The righteous would be the sheep, the goats would be the ones going to hell. Okay, now spiritually speaking, how can you and I apply this? Okay, the way we can apply this spiritually is very easy, in that whatever we do for each other or for a fellow believer in Jesus Christ, the Lord interprets that as you are doing that for Him personally. Now He says to the wife, wives, submit unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. When a wife submits to her husband, it is identical to her submitting to Jesus Christ. Now, a wife may say, he sure don't look or act like Jesus Christ to me. But that's what the Lord says. He may not look or act like it, but that's what the Lord says. And when the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and he may say, well, she sure isn't acting like it. Well, if you go to the average church, maybe she is. Depends what church you're going to, what Christian you're dealing with. But you see, the way the Lord treats that is when you and I help another believer in Christ out, who are we helping out? We're helping out Jesus Christ. That's how He looks at that, and that's how we look at that, and can look at that spiritually speaking. Doctrinally, this is called the judgment of the nations, Matthew 25. Verse 31 down to 46, it will occur at the end of the tribulation, at the beginning of the millennium. Jesus Christ will set up His throne, the throne in the valley of Jehoshaphat. The first docket on His, the first item on His docket sheet is the judgment of the nations. He will come to judge the nations as the judge of the universe. Can you imagine these earthly judges coming in front of the judge of the universe? I can see the Lord sarcastically looking at Judge so-and-so and say, well, isn't it, you know, your most distinguished, honorable Judge so-and-so, would you please rise as I have a Bible in my hand? And then just start wailing on them, as they have done to people time and time again. And then look at him and say, how do you like to reap what you sow, pal? I ain't done with you. I'm gonna throw the book at you. It's called a King James Bible, and then you're going to be booked into hell forever. See how they like that? Judgment of the nations, Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46. Okay, we'll stop there. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for a blessed book You've given us. Lord, I do pray You give us discernment, discretion. Help us understand the different judgments in the Bible. Know what the time period, know the criteria involved. Lord, thank You for a blessed book You've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.